Well, good afternoon, everyone. Great to see you all here. And there's a few new faces and names I don't know, but terrific to have you along. My name is Sam, and welcome to our new 4 p.m. congregation. We've only been going for about 5 or 6 weeks. I've lost count now. And but it's a wonderful group of people, and I hope you're made to feel at home amongst us. But before we get into God's Word, as we get towards the end of this series on the Sermon on the Plain, please bow your heads with me and let's pray for God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another week in which we can come and gather as your people, that we can know your love as you reveal yourself to us through your Word, as well as through the love shown to us through one another. And so we pray that you open our minds now, you unblock our ears, that you both challenge our hearts as well as comfort them with the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there's a bit of ringing, Hamish. Is that just my imagination or... Yep. Okay. Well, I'll try my best. Well, some of you may know who Mahatma Gandhi is. Very famous. Well, our Indian friends up the back will know. Mahatma Gandhi had a well-known quote. He said, "I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Ouch. Now, why would he say such a thing? Well, part of the answer may have been that Gandhi knew Christians, the type of Christians that Jesus talks about in our passage today. You see, Christians are those who confess that Jesus is Lord. But, says Jesus, but not everyone who professes Jesus as Lord is a genuine Christian. And that's shocking, isn't it? It's scary. You see, Jesus is going to challenge us with this question today. Does our life match our lips? Or is there a hypocritical gap? Could Gandhi point the finger at you and say, "You are so unlike your Christ"? That's the question Christ is asking you tonight. You see, is our confession that Jesus is Lord worth any more than counterfeit cash? Counterfeit cash, look, there's a picture up on the screen. It might look like it might be plastic and like real money. It might even have numbers on it like real money. It might have the Queen's face on it like real money. But at the end of the day, counterfeit cash is not the real thing. And it's worthless. It's fake. And so you take it to a shopkeeper and they can see straight through it. Now, in the same way, Jesus challenges us. He says, if our lives don't match our lips, then our profession of faith that he is Lord is worthless. It's fake. And it's not just it's not that we should be concerned that people like Gandhi can see straight through us, but that the Lord Jesus himself will see straight through us on Judgment Day. And so Jesus wants us to be very clear tonight, each one of us, about what it means to have him truly as our King and Lord. On what he wants us to know, on what basis can we know that he is truly our Lord and Master? Now, if our eternal destiny hangs on this question, on what we do with Jesus, then there's no more important question, is there? And so let me ask you, as we start, is Jesus truly your Lord. As Jesus comes to the end of this Sermon on the Plain, he concludes with this challenge. And he warns of two ways that professing Christians can deceive themselves. He spells out the difference between a genuine believer and a merely nominal one. Let's have a look at the first group. Look at verse 46 with me. Jesus asks a simple question. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say?" You see, in this first point, Jesus is targeting those for whom there's this incoherent gap between what they say and what they do. You see, confessing Jesus as Lord is necessary, but it's not sufficient. Professing Christ must go hand in hand with obeying him as Lord. And there's a serious problem if we say one thing but do the other. See, now this is even true for pastors on the front line of ministry who are active. Listen to the parallel passage in Matthew's Gospel from the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, not everyone, it's a bit full up, right? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. He goes on, many will say to me on judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? But then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, here we have ministry workers that Jesus is talking to have used their gifts. They've done extraordinary things. They've even prophesied, performed miracles. Yet on judgment day, Jesus will say, I never knew you. Away from me. Now we need to let this sink in for a moment and examine ourselves. You see, Jesus is warning us that it's possible to build God's church, like these people that were prophesying and performing miracles, without being a genuine Christian. It's possible to enthusiastically sing all the right songs without being a genuine Christian. It's possible to gather on Sunday with God's people and to know your Bible and to say all the creeds, to affirm orthodox theology without being a genuine Christian. It's even possible to be extraordinarily gifted but not have a real relationship with Jesus or submit to him as your personal Lord. Some of you may have heard of Bill Hybels. There's lots of examples. There's Australian ones. I'm just going to use Bill Hybels. He was the pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, the seventh largest church in America. However many decades, he grew up from like 50 people up to 25,000. Hybels even ran the Global Leadership Summit. He was a leader of leaders. I remember they'd broadcast this to hundreds of thousands across pastors and other Christian leaders across the world. I remember even seeing back in about 2017, someone had one of those telecasts even down at Kingston. Hybels wrote books, dozens of books. Now listen to the titles of the books that he wrote. One was called Who You Are When No One's Looking. Another one was called Authenticity, Being Honest with God and Others. But if you haven't heard of the story of Bill Hybels, after 50 years of ministry, he was even a pastor to the presidents like Bill Clinton and Obama. after 50 years of ministry, 6 months before he was about to retire, in 2018, allegations of sexual misconduct were made against him that had happened over many years. The independent investigations found that the allegations were credible. Hybels hasn't been heard from since. It was all a lie. He'd lived a double life. His life hadn't matched his lips. Jesus is saying here, well, even if you're one of the world's most well-known pastors, not even your giftedness and active service is a sure indicator of true faith, that Jesus really is your Lord. And so how do we know? How do we know if Jesus really is our Lord? Look in verse 46, the second half. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but then do not do what I say? Did you get it? The essential characteristic of a true disciple of Jesus is obedience. The one for whom Jesus truly is their Lord Master doesn't just merely admire or discuss or praise or debate or theologically analyze what Jesus says. They obey it. And so let me ask you, are you prepared to obey Jesus, whatever the cost? If Gandhi was to follow you around day and night for a week, at the end, would he be able to tell that your life is any different from everyone else? Or would he say of you, you Christian, are so unlike your Christ? You see, our private behavior, more than our public profession, will reveal the truth or otherwise of our claim to follow Jesus as Lord. The real test of genuine faith is the obedience of our hearts, which will express itself in the holiness of our lives. And so the question is, well, is Jesus truly your Lord? Jesus lays out another challenge for us. In his second point, Jesus changes the contrast from saying and doing to hearing and doing, right? He moves from the tongue to the ear. So cast your eyes down now to our passage, verse 47. Read with me from verse 47. He says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. Then when a flood came and the torrent struck, that house, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. And so picture these two houses. They both look the same on the outside. They're both modern. They're both clean. They're both freshly painted. But there's one difference. One house rests on a secure foundation of rock. The other stands on nothing more than sand. Now, the two builders and the two projects point to two different eternal destinies based on two different responses to Jesus and his words. The person who built their house on the rock, Jesus says, is like the one who not only hears his words, but also puts them into practice. But the person who built their house on the sand is like the person who comes to church and does hear Jesus' words, but doesn't put them into practice. And so the difference between the two houses is likened to the difference between obedience and disobedience to Jesus as Lord. Now, on one level, this story is quite humorous, isn't it, about someone building their house on the sand? But the point is deadly serious. And the consequences are eternal. You see, from the outside on a Sunday, professing Christians can tend to look much the same. We all go to church. We all sing songs. We all hear sermons. And like the picture of the two houses, it can be hard to know the difference between Christians. We can't always tell who's building their lives on a secure foundation of Jesus and the gospel, and who's not. And so, Jesus is challenging each one of us to examine ourselves to make sure that we're not deceiving ourselves. You see, we can turn up to church year after year, decade after decade. But if we're building our lives on good things that we often think of as certain, like our families or our homes or our relationships or our jobs or belonging to a community or even past spiritual victories, then Jesus says we're standing on sinking sand. You see, these things are good, but they're far from certain. It only takes a storm to come and bang, they're gone. Our lives are turned upside down. And it's at that point when suffering does come into our lives that the genuineness of our faith is tested. Perhaps you've been in a situation where your business has gone broke or a loved one's got cancer. Or your marriage is broken down. And it's in those seasons when we're pushed beyond our limits that it's revealed whether we're really willing to obey Jesus as our Lord. But this passage is actually saying more than that. You see, if we put on our Old Testament goggles for a moment, in the Old Testament, storms, violent storms that cause destruction, were a metaphor for God's judgment. And so ultimately the point here that Jesus is making is that it's only those who've built their lives on with Jesus as their Lord and his gospel word, his gospel promises, that will stand tall through the storm of God's final judgment. Let me share a sad story. It's a true story. The story's about two young brothers who spent their holidays playing on sandbanks, sandbag levees on the edge of the Mississippi River. Now, tragically, the two boys found themselves caught in quicksand because the levee had been breached and the sand was collapsing. Now, when the rescue workers arrived, they only found one boy standing on the sand. And so one of the rescue workers asked him, "Where's your brother?" To which the younger brother said, "I'm standing on his shoulders." The older brother had sacrificed his life to save his younger brother. Now, in a similar way, that's the story of the gospel, isn't it? We too were sinking in sand, the sand of our sin. And it took our older brother, our Lord Jesus Christ, to sacrifice himself so that we could be saved. And it's only when we stand on his shoulders that we can escape death and stand through the storm of God's final judgment. And one day, Jesus will return as a rescue worker and pull us out fully and finally out of that sand. Christ is the rock. And we must build our lives on him and his word, his gospel promises. So how can we know if Jesus is truly our personal Lord? Well, our true attitude to Jesus as Lord will be reflected in our attitude to his words. The issue isn't whether we hear them or even affirm them, but whether we do it. You see, the true believer will obey Christ with their whole lives. They'll submit to the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, in everything, without reservation. And no one will ever say of them, "I like your Christ, but I don't like you, Christian. You're so unlike your Christ."